All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We're about a half hour away from checking in with our guy, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. He's been joining us throughout the NFL season the last couple of years, and a lot to get into with him. Certainly, I should say, on the Chiefs front, but how about John Harbaugh, no longer the head coach in Baltimore? What does that do for this entire coaching cycle? We'll get into the rest of the wild card action that's going to take place beginning on Saturday afternoon. So a lot to get into with Ross Tucker coming up in 30 minutes. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Video stream will be up and running here momentarily as well. Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and X. And as always, subscribe on YouTube. That way, it just pops right up there. You don't miss any of the shows on 96.5 The Fan.
Just put it on your desk at work, you know? We don't want you missing Cody and Gold, even if you have to sit in an office. How many people are still going to the office 5 days a week? Is that?
I still think a good chunk of
people. I think more people than before, obviously, because I think some people did some return to office.
Some business said, get your ass back in the office. They said, you know, get your butt back. And I think that's what happened for a lot of people.
That's unfortunate for them. Because I'll admit, as someone who works in an office every day, I don't think we understand the tremendous amount of time wasted in an office. Like, somehow that time's different than the time I would waste at home. Dusty came out in the middle of, we're working today, and Dusty said, which side would be the top of a pizza if it had legs? So, like, I don't exactly.
I was not there.
And that happens in every part of every office of all time. There's some office today spending a bunch of time talking about Kansas's comeback or whatever on the, you know, not the actual water cooler, but
That's just camaraderie and stuff you're talking about. Like
non-working time in an office is not different than non-working time at home.
Yeah,
that's all. Either way, let's not get into office workplace culture, and let's instead talk about the latest from Travis Kelce on New Heights today. Their new podcast, obviously released on Wednesdays, and I don't know what percentage you were at. If I had made you put a percentage on it, and Travis Kelce's return to the Chiefs next season and whether or not that was a possibility. But no matter your percentage and no matter what my percentage was yesterday, I can tell you after you play this audio, my percentage went up. And I don't know if I'm misreading this, and so we'll give it to other people to listen to it as well. I think there's a better chance that Travis Kelce returns after hearing what he had to say about the possibility.
Now that the season is over, what is next for the Big Yeti?
Man.
Trav? You want to tell us all of your personal endeavors?
Yeah, every season ends for me. I put my feet up and I just be a human.
Yeah.
Just being a regular human for a couple of weeks, maybe a month or so, and trying to figure out what I'm going to do next in terms of my future in football. You know, I've talked to a few people in the facility already, you know, having the exit meetings and everything, and they know where I stand, at least right now. And there's a lot of love for the game. That's still there. And I don't think I'll ever lose that. It's a tough thing to navigate, but at the same time, if my body can heal up and rest up and I can feel confident that I can go out there and give it another 18, 20, 21 week run. I think I would do it in a heartbeat. So, I think right now it's just finding that answer and seeing how the body feels after this game and kind of when it all settles down.
I'm confused. So you're not already coming back? Chris Jones has said that you're coming back. I thought this was already...
Nice. That's why we love Chris. He's very optimistic.
So that was Travis today on New Heights. How did you take it then? Because it sounds like you've changed.
Look, I'm still not here to tell you that there's a better than not chance that Travis Kelce gets there. But I will tell you that I am officially up to 50-50. That last little bit, maybe I'd have been at 60-40. That last little bit of, well, he's an optimist, you know, so we love that. That cast a little bit of extra doubt back into the pod. But the fact that he was simply just talking about that this is not a my desire to play football thing, but instead a if I think I can physically play football thing, makes me think that based on the amount of time he spent this offseason, the amount of health he had this year, and the extra time he'll get off at the end of this year, that there's a better chance that Travis Kelce returns. Let's take the money out of it for a minute. I listen to that, and my percentage goes up. Does yours?
So but we discussed this, though, with Nate yesterday, and I hear you, and I could see how you could take it that way. The question I don't think has ever been, does he still love football? He basically just said over and over, they're like, I still love football, and just depends whether or not
I can do it.
My body physically will let me do it. hasn't that always been a lot of it? Like, you know, like,
I guess, but at the same time,
we all know he loves football, that he'll always love football. I think the question is he physically able to do it? And I'm not just talking about the production. Like, we saw the production. He had over 800 yards receiving. He can produce still. I don't doubt that.
Was no doubt.
But we all know he just went through one of the tougher off seasons he's ever had, right? In terms of getting ready for the season. And it showed, right? It showed. Does he want to go through all that work again? And also, will his body hold up and let him do that? He fortunately, knock on wood, made it through this entire season healthy. But can you do that again? The amount of work that it requires at his age to be in the kind of shape that he was in, and does his body let him get in that shape again? That, to me, is the question, it sounds like, for me. So I get the part hearing him say, like, you know, yeah, I just, like, I still love him playing the game. And so usually when you hear that, that means a player's not stepping away. I just think it's not about does he not want to play? Will his body let him?
Yeah. And I understand there was this big part during the regular season that was tough because they were kind of treating it like it was final right. But if you look back on that, a lot of his teammates have to treat it that way. One, because the roster is going to have a massive turnover. So this might be their last time playing with Travis Kelce either way.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, it's like you have to treat it that way because Travis isn't telling you whether or not he's hanging it up. He's just telling you, I'm playing football and I don't know where the future holds. The part about the body is, had he had a season more like the one before last year and he said, I got to see if my body can hold up. Well, then I would take that with more. Can it? Like, can it? I don't know. And so he's not going to have to put three additional games on it in the postseason. He played less snaps than he did the year before. And there still goes back to the Patrick Mahomes part of it. What Nate was saying yesterday, Does Mahomes turn the pressure up more than he has in previous years? Because the 6-11 season and the fact that he didn't get to finish the year and they didn't go to the postseason. He's like, hey man, give me just one more. And then we can really talk. And that's kind of like where I think maybe there's a part of me that when I listen to him, it's harder because like that doesn't sound as much as a guy who's getting ready to leave is like the post game press conferences where he was just being like vague and unintentional about it.
We can't discount the fact that he also has a longer offseason. He just does. They're done. Season's over. He has all of January. He has an extra month, if not more, a month and a half in some, you know, if you think they were going to win the Super Bowl and what he's had in prior years. In prior years, he's not done till like February 12th. And he's playing three, four extra football games. He's playing three or four less games this year. And he's just got a month more of healing. Like, how's he feeling today is going to be different than how he's feeling a month and a half from now, which is ultimately probably when he has to truly make a decision.
Mid-February? Does that sound right to you? Early March? It's got to be before free agency.
Of course.
I think he's openly admitted. He'd said the draft at one point. But before free agency, because we got to know if, like, let's just say Kyle Pitts or whoever, Kate Otten, whoever the free agent tight ends are, we got to know if that's got to be something we consider. Like, we need you to tell us if free agent tight end is something we have to shop for. And, like, I understand they've been drafting tight ends here for a while, but sorry, I won't be holding my breath that Jared Wiley turns it around this offseason after years of not being available. I'm not going to count on Noah Gray taking a huge step forward. He had a chance to do that this year a couple of different times. He actually seemingly took a half step back. And so, like, if Travis Kelce retires, they're in the market for tight end, in my opinion. They're not going to just make do with the people around.
I agree with that. Few texts that have come in, 913-586-7965. Someone says he'll be back week 9 or 10. Someone else says he absolutely can come back because of Taylor Swift. I think she inspired him to work harder in the offseason. Someone said before, I thought that Travis just might not want to play anymore today. He seemed to make it clear it's based on how his body feels. Yeah, I think that's the biggest takeaway from the piece of audio is that he wants to play football. And it is just whether or not his body will allow him to do that. And that's making people feel better, I think, about the likelihood. We already had the discussion. I'm sure we'll have another 5 or 10 times before we get to the start of the year, the league year, that is, which is, that's fine. He wants to come back. But again, how are those conversations going to be with the Chiefs? He mentioned he already talked to him, exit meeting, told him kind of where he's at. But there is still the business side of it. I understand you're like, well, it shouldn't matter. It still does. And
he's not
going to
just take $2 million.
For both parties, right? Like, there's still the business side for Travis Kelce, and there's sure as heck the business side for Brett Veach and the Kansas City Chiefs. While also trying to honor, you know, the legacy aspect, you can't be handing out just, deals for 1 year, $18 million though, for a 37-year-old tight end.
I don't think it'll be that amount. I think it's probably Nate more in that 12 to 14 range.
Nate worried me when he said he thinks it's $14 million. That's too much for me. That's too much.
I think that's the range, admittedly. And I understand that, like, if that happens, we'll talk about it. It doesn't bother me, the number, because I don't think on the free agency market you can get a lot of production for $10 to $12 million anyway. That's $12 to $14 million. That's what Hollywood Brown cost. The hell did they get out of that? 2 years in a row, they paid him $10 million. That's what free agency and $10 million gets you. I know what, at the very least, $12 to $14 million. I borderline guarantee production out of Travis Kelce at that number versus just a poke at a wide receiver or some of these other guys.
Well, they would probably use that money for a free agent running back.
Fine, but that, like, I don't think very many running backs are even going to cost that number, right?
Well, even better, then I can get more. I can get the running back and I can save money.
Well, yeah, yes, that save money, because you're not going to add much other than just random depth at corner or it. Because, like, I mean, you go back and you look at, like, what Christian Fulton cost. He's $12 million a year. Or what, like, free agents at that price point are usually pretty low quality. Or at the very least, real Hail Marys like Turk Wharton, and you're like, sure hope we're getting him on the upswing because he was like $12 million. I feel like I'm getting guaranteed production. I can accept that number. I understand why you and others would be worried at that figure. And look, I also understand, I wish it worked this way, and this is not how any business works. The Travis Kelce has tens of millions of dollars and is already super rich and is going to make a ton of money after football, and he's getting ready to marry a billionaire. And so, like, hey, Trav, can you just take one for league minimum? It doesn't work that way. I wish it did, because that's the dream scenario. Come on back, Trav, and take league minimum if you don't mind.
I'm not saying Travis should be willing to take 1 year for $8 million. I'm not saying he should want that. I'm just saying as the chief, I'm viewing this as not what the best deal is for Travis Kelce. I'm viewing like what the best deal is for the Kansas City Chiefs moving forward, not just for 2026. But beyond 2026, and is it better to move on? Is it not better to move on? What's the dollar amount that makes sense? Can your offense run through Travis Kelce next year? And I get it. Like, the production has been very, very good, but someone texted in and said $14 million for a 1,000-yard tight end. Like, I get we like rounding up numbers, but he hasn't been a 1,000-yard tight end since 2022.
Technically, to be a 1,000-yard tight end, but until Patrick Mahomes got hurt. But
fine. But you and I go back on.
He wasn't a 1,000-yard. Yeah. I understand that. But, like,
it's been 3 years. It'll be 4 years.
For an 850-yard tight end, that's the going rate, though. Like, I hate to say it, but, like, if you look at the production of these guys.
They gave the numbers
guys,
yesterday with those guys.
That is the going rate.
I just don't think the Chiefs – if we talk about the Chiefs offense evolving and all of this kind of stuff, the offense just running through the tight end again?
So here's the thing. That part, I'm not willing to accept. So, like, both things don't have to be true for me. I am willing to give Travis Kelce that money. I do not want the offense to run through
him. Okay, because that's my big concern.
I didn't want the offense to run through him this year. It was supposed to be Rashee Rice steps up and takes over the reins. And I don't want to ignore the fact that, like, because as much as we're inflating maybe Travis Kelce's numbers, we've also somehow in the midst of this deflated Rashee Rice's. As in, I'm not telling you that Rashee Rice is turning into Ja'Marr Chase or Malik Nabers or one of these other elite level wide receivers that certainly, like, changes the game. I also would like to point out that this is not making up numbers. Based on Rashee Rice's pace this season, he was on pace to be a 1,200-yard wide receiver. So he wasn't ass either. He actually was on pace to be the person the offense went through. My problem was not the fact that they were throwing it and using so many targets on Rashee Rice. My problem is that every target they gave Rashee Rice was for 3 damn yards. This all goes back to depth of target, yards per attempt, and the way that they structured their offense and the way you want to spend it. Rashee Rice was actually the more targeted per game wide receiver when both those guys were on the field. I just didn't like the way their offense was structured. I thought Travis Kelce ran through him for too long in the early part of the season and for too long when Rashee Rice got back. But at points, it did run through Rice. So they started that transition a little bit this season. I could still see the full transition, and then, hell, we don't even
that
know.
Part, look,
maybe
the ideal,
take Carnell Tate at 9, and then we're having a whole different conversation.
I don't know if it's realistic or not, but, like, if I were to ask you what's the perfect, you know, contract to where you wouldn't be concerned about it, it sounds like you're fine for 14. For me,
perfect contract, 10 to 12.
For me, it is base salary.
16 or something.
Yeah, for me, it's base salary, $9 million, and that's a half. Yeah. That's basically a 50% pay cut, though. But it's $9 million base with incentives that bump it to 14. And I think that to me would be the range I would be comfortable with if I'm the Chiefs.
If Travis was vehement in coming back, like, he was like, I want to play. Yeah. I've got the body to play, but the Chiefs don't give him the number. Does he go somewhere else, or does he just
No, I think he would just retire. Yeah, he would just retire, in my opinion.
I don't think, and here's the part that we can discuss whether or not you would bring him back or I would bring him back or fans would bring him back. I'm just telling you right now, if Travis Kelce calls up Brett Veach tomorrow and he says, ring, ring, hi, hey, Brett, I'd like to play football again. They're paying him. He is never going to and
that's what I think too.
And if they said, Travis, we won't pay you that number. No chance Travis plays for another team. Like, it's just, that's not good.
Yeah, but you said two different things there. I'm with you. You said, like, if he wants to play, there's no way that they're not giving him what he wants, essentially. Like, and I disagree. I don't think you can operate that way. I think it's a terrible way to operate business-wise.
Look, I don't think he's going to get $20 million. I still think there's a range in which that number lands.
The part that I agree with is he's not playing for another franchise, period.
Yeah. I think the number, I still think the perfect number is around 12. Like, and it can be incentives with 12 or however they want to do it. But, like, I think 12 is about the number, heavy signing bonus, and you stretch that payment out for a few years. If Clark Hunt doesn't want to do void years, which is what Nate Taylor made it sound like yesterday, then we're having a slightly different conversation.
Okay, I hope we're here in March. Clark,
that's a kind of perfect way to structure his contract.
I hope we're sitting here first week of March and we find out he signs a new one-year deal with incentives that can get to $15 million, but we find out the base is 10.
Eight, nine,
fine.
10, yeah.
Fine. That would be totally good. I will not like if I hear it's a one-year deal for a 37-year-old tight end where it's guaranteed 14 or 15 million.
Yeah,
I think
scary.
That's a mistake. That's all. We can disagree on it, but like I think that would be a mistake.
I think that at that rate, you could essentially sign Kyle Pitts and get younger. And so like, or some other, or Cade Otton and get younger. And you can,
I just think it's dangerous to like,
I understand.
It's dangerous just to sign people because you're like, oh, he was such a good chief and an all-time chief. You have to give him what he wants. Like not you, but like, yeah. I think there are people listening and that's fine. Like, heck, I was texting with a few of my family members the other day. They're like, I don't care whatever it takes. You got to bring him back. I'm like, no, you don't.
Vibes.
It's a terrible way to run an organization. You're sure. Like, we'll just bring everybody back no matter what they want because we love them.
Like, I'm signing him for production. Like for me, he is still one of the most productive tight ends in the NFL. That was not the biggest, obviously, story in the NFL yesterday. It's that a coach who'd been in charge for 18 years in Baltimore and John Harbaugh, apparently Loop cost him his job. That kick got missed. Harbaugh is out. And so now we got to look at what this means for the rest of the AFC. Let's state the obvious here first. Any single team who has an opening for a head coach, and there are a number of them, their number one choice, without question, is now Harbaugh. Like, let's not kid ourselves.
It's not even close.
Every single team who has an NFL opening in what was, as previously discussed, a pretty weak head coaching crop this season, Amin is going to try to hire Harbaugh. Now, I will say, he's 63 years old. That's probably, how old was Andy when he came here? That's even older than when Andy came here. Like Andy Reid's what, 67? And he's been here that's even older than when Andy eventually ended up in Kansas City, who was still in his like late 50s, early 60s to go with it. But I mean, let's be honest, it's better than most of the choices. He got 18 years in Baltimore for a reason. The second half of that was not exactly like the first half run of Harbaugh in Baltimore, but they've been a competitive franchise this entire time. So I'm assuming the Giants, the Titans, all these teams are going to try. But for him, he can just choose the best spot. So like in the AFC, it's just interesting to find out who goes with Lamar at this point.
Right. If you have an opening already, it's a no-brainer. He's automatically at the top of your list. I don't care whether it's the Giants, whether it's the Titans, or even the Cleveland Browns. He's at the top of your list. And there was a report from Adam Schefter that there's seven openings, including the Ravens now, and seven teams called Harbaugh's agent, which means at least one team that already has a coach still employed, still called to say, hey, basically, like, would he be interested? You know, we'd move on from our guy to get him. And Josina Anderson has since reported that that team she's hearing were the Miami Dolphins. And so I think there should be other teams. If you're the Jets, if you're the Bucks who still have head coaches, if you could guarantee and get a commitment that, hey, yes, if you move on from said coach, he would come there, then you absolutely would make that move. Harbaugh immediately is the best coach on the market. It's not close. I think... You know, it was one of those where the story came out from the Baltimore Sun, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, that, you know, Lamar wasn't paying attention in meetings and he was playing video games and all that. Isn't it so obvious now who that came from?
The Harbaugh camp,
yeah,
at the very least.
Yeah. And so that was probably an effort to make Lamar look bad and make Harbaugh look better. And ultimately, and I agree with the decision, it doesn't mean that the Ravens are going to be 100% better off. By all means, they could be worse, but you side with the two-time MVP quarterback over the coach 99% of the time. The same thing would apply here in Kansas City, by the way.
Agreed.
If Andy Reid was 5 years younger and there was like some turmoil and you had to pick between 32-year-old Mahomes or Andy Reid, I'm picking the quarterback every single time.
I mean, if Patrick Mahomes went on a news station today and said, it is either me or Andy Reid, Andy can go. Like, it's just not, it's not a decision you have to think about.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like for Baltimore, it is, I
applies
think,
for any top
yes.
10 quarterback, top five quarterback in football.
Yes.
This goes for Burrow. This goes for Allen. This goes for, you know, Jalen Hurts even in Philadelphia. Like, the same thing applies.
I am trying to decide how many active teams who have a head coach would fire their, like, would Philadelphia, would
no,
Rosen,
not Philly. He's won a ring. They won. And so you, like, can say Harbaugh won a ring, but like literally won a ring last year. Like,
yeah, no, I know. And it has a team that I think has a chance to win a ring again this year. Todd Bowles for sure, I would. Dan Quinn for sure, I would. Those are two. Yeah. I would let my
Aaron
guy
Glenn,
go immediately.
Dave Canales,
Aaron
probably Glenn. Would still.
Yeah, but yeah. Like, it's funny. Yes, absolutely, Drew. But Carolina even knows they're not convincing Harbaugh to go there. Like, he's going to have too many other better options than that one.
Well, I know.
Yeah,
you,
but
you,
I would.
You,
right.
You just posed the question. Like, I think that there's every team that's not in the playoffs and then maybe a couple of playoff teams.
There are definitely a few playoff teams. I think they would at least kick it around. Like, if you're the, like, for instance,
which
like if
playoff
you're the
team?
Dallas, like, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, why wouldn't you?
I mean, the Panthers is one.
Panthers is one playoff team. That
I think they're the only playoff
Steelers?
Team. No. Mike,
not
I mean,
Steelers.
That was the whole thing. Mike
That's
Tomlin
just trading the same thing for the same thing.
Texans?
Let me look up.
I think D'Amico's a really good head coach. And he's still early enough in his tenure. You got to see this play
Packers?
Out a little bit more. No, I think Matt LaFleur is one of the top 7-8 coaches in football.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you think they think that?
I do.
Think people.
Yeah.
I think I saw something.
Maybe it's just the one.
I saw something from, I don't know how this popped up on the feed, but ESPN Milwaukee, they were talking about you need to reevaluate Matt LaFleur after every season from here on out because the clock is kind of ticking on him trying to make the most of
it. I will say,
Jordan
I think
Love.
Green Bay is the only other one that I would say would kick it around. Look, I from an AFC perspective, of course, I'm fascinated to find out what coach ends up with Lamar Jackson. He has been one of the five best quarterbacks, one of the four best quarterbacks in the NFL for half a decade. So, yes, I'm curious which coach ends up there in Baltimore. I think Harbaugh is going to end up with the Giants head coach. I don't know why it just
That's
feels like such a soft
right
layup.
That's the favorite.
It just
right
feels
now.
Like there's positioning, there's organizational stuff that they're going through right now. You can kind of handpick your situation. You go to the NFC side so you don't have to, like, you know, I don't know why you take the Raiders or some of these.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Giants is the obvious one for Harbaugh. As far as what the Ravens are going to do, I mean, if the reports are true that the Ravens are looking for someone to unlock the full potential of Lamar Jackson again, well, Cliff Kingsbury would be the only name along with Clint Kubiak, I think, that even possibly could do that this cycle. Because otherwise, you're talking about defensive mind. You're not bringing in Jesse Minter to unlock Lamar Jackson. He's a defensive-minded head coach. For the person that was saying have Harbaugh come to Kansas City as an OC, he's not an OC. He was a special teams guy and then has become a head coach. He's not.
If Mike McDaniel gets in Miami, do you go after
Harbaugh's going to get a head coach gig immediately. So.
I also am just not trying to run a retirement home. Like, I don't know how to put this like mildly. I don't need every coach on the Kansas City Chiefs staff to be available for AARP memberships. Like, at some point, I'd like a little youth injection into the coaching staff, not just bringing in a bunch of guys who remember, like, the ice bowl. Like,
I hear you. But
a little youth.
I mean, until Andy Reid's gone, I don't know if that happens.
I mean, Harbaugh's going to be a head coach again, and he's also not an offensive coordinator, so it just doesn't.
He is going to be head coach immediately. And so
him and Stefanski are the top two names on the market.
Yeah. It is always weird, and this is like a position that teams find themselves in, because sometimes the clock has run out, and you're stuck in a situation. Because immediately, when Kevin Stefanski got fired from the Browns, and Kevin Clark said this, he put it perfectly. When the Browns fired Kevin Stefanski immediately was the best head coach available in the market, and the Browns was the worst job. Like, so what kind of position did you put yourself in? And I feel the same, like, weirdly enough, in Baltimore, it's like, this is the one thing I would say about Baltimore that's different is Harbaugh is immediately the most attractive coach for any team on the market, but Baltimore's not the worst job. Baltimore's the best job. Immediately, Baltimore is the best head coaching job available for any potential candidate. You have an all-pro quarterback and one of the most stable organizations in the entire NFL. If I was a coach that had been like biding my time, waiting for the right spot, or just not putting my name out there, I'm throwing my hat in the ring immediately if they'll entertain me, if they'll take my call, if they'll have any conversation. That's the job I'm trying to get more than any other job.
Yeah, it's the best coach on the market is the guy they fired, and the job he left is the best job. Yeah. Someone was saying Stefanski is an offensive mind. Yeah, nobody said he. The texter said Harbaugh.
Yeah,
not Stefanski. Yes, Stefanski is an offensive mind.
I still think Stefanski's getting a job though. Is the problem?
Both of them will be head coaches next year.
Yeah,
One of them is an offensive mind. It's Stefanski, not
coming from somebody Harbaugh. Who's a fan of a team in the AFC North. They don't need. I don't need them signing Brian Flores, please. I need that defense to be as bad as they've been.
Oh, you're worried
the last
if they hire Flores.
I need that defense to be as bad as they've been for the last couple of years, please. Keep that up.
Yeah,
I mean, because if the Ravens get a good defense again, I mean it. They become so much harder to beat, I think, and they just it makes things a lot more difficult for everybody else in that division.
They might be the Jesse Minter team, you know.
He's the favorite offshore, the odds. Minter's the favorite to land there. Harbaugh's the favorite to go to the Giants.
Would you fire your coach for John Harbaugh?
Zach Taylor for John Harbaugh? No.
Really?
No.
That was a little surprising.
I don't think so.
You think the Bills, if they fired Sean McDermott, would do that? I think
no, because he's almost the same coach.
It's like the same thing for the same thing. Yeah. I think you can't do that.
I would not fire McDermott for Harbaugh.
If I fire Sean McDermott, let's say you lose to the Jags this weekend, I am immediately looking for the hottest young offensive coordinator name to try to make Josh Allen.
Yeah, but there's only like two names for that. It's Clint Kubiak and it's Cliff Kingsbury.
Oof.
And Cliff with Josh Allen, I don't think works.
No, I don't think it's.
And
the
you're
right
like,
system.
What do you mean that doesn't work? It's Josh out. It should always work. I just don't
I think
it's
go outside really the box, fit. Though. I think the Bengals kind of did. I don't think Zach Taylor was the quarterback coach in LA when he got hired. He wasn't even an OC. I think to the point that you guys have brought up about Sean McVay, whoever's a part of that system, just go find whoever's up next with him.
We'll talk more about the coaching carousel, also the NFL postseason wildcard weekend ahead with Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, next. Back here on Cody and Gold, we'll get to the thriller last night at Allen Fieldhouse. They had no business winning that game against TCU, but a little Allen Fieldhouse magic. Perhaps a choke job by TCU, and Darren Peterson actually played 32 minutes last night. So we'll get into a little college hoops. We were all texting during that late last night. Thought that thing was over.
Well,
over.
It was for a good chunk of that. But
plus 2,500 on the money line with 3 minutes to go, and they came back and won it overtime. So we'll get to the Jayhawks in just a bit. But let's keep talking NFL. We welcome in our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Ross, good to have you back on the show. We were just talking about John Harbaugh, and of course, the surprise. I think for a lot of people, surprising. I know there were some rumors about maybe the relationship there with Lamar down the stretch, but your reaction to the fact that Harbaugh becomes the top name immediately, but the Ravens' job is also the top job available immediately.
Well, I would agree with you on both accounts. I also am a big fan of Kevin Stefanski as a head coach. I mean, if you're a two-time coach of the year for the Cleveland Browns, that says a lot given where that organization has been. You know, I'm not shocked. I am a little surprised just because he had been there for so long. But, you know, they have an MVP caliber quarterback in his prime. And it feels like out of the four elite quarterbacks in the AFC that he's had the least amount of playoff success. You know, I mean, Burrow's gotten to a Super Bowl and another conference championship game. Josh Allen's gotten to a couple conference championship games. You guys know more than anybody how many conference championship games and Super Bowls Patrick's gotten to. Lamar Jackson has won 3 playoff games. You know, I posted this on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. Joe Flacco won 10 playoff games. It's kind of crazy to me that Harbaugh's tenure ends with Joe Flacco having more than 3 times as many playoff wins as Lamar Jackson. So if you're Steve Bisciotti, the owner for the Ravens, you kind of have to figure out what your next move is. It felt like they were going the wrong direction. A couple years ago, they were in the AFC Championship game. They lost at home to the Chiefs. Last year, they lose in the divisional round up in Buffalo. This year, they don't even make the playoffs. And I've been told by someone that would know that they felt like it was either going to be Lamar Jackson or John Harbaugh back next year, that they didn't really foresee a scenario where both of those guys would be back. And I think most NFL owners would pick, you know, the multiple-time MVP quarterback in his prime over the coach that's been there for a long time and is in whatever Harbaugh is in, mid-60s.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. That's what we were saying is I think 99.9% of the time I'm choosing the star franchise quarterback. I don't care what the coach accomplished prior.
That's correct. I mean, that's why I always think it's funny, by the way. I always see these people say that wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat, but they are a coach stat. And I think, okay, who has more to do with whether they win or lose the game? I mean, why do you think quarterbacks get paid, you know, five times more than coaches? You know, it's because they have a greater input and impact on the game and who actually wins it. I get that quarterbacks don't play defense, but I don't know, coaches don't play at all. They're just standing on the sideline.
When you look at what the Chiefs are going to do coach-wise, and then we can talk about some of these upcoming NFL playoff games, when you look at where the Chiefs currently are, it looks like, by all accounts, Matt Nagy will no longer be the offensive coordinator. He's a free agent. Nobody expects him to return. So they'll be looking for, I hope, fresh blood. What do you think should be the plan for the Chiefs at OC? How big of an impact or how big of a hire is this for Andy Reid, knowing that, for the most part, it's just been guys he knows? It's been Nagy and Kafka and Bieniemy his entire run. Do you think he'll go outside that circle?
That is the million-dollar question. I think they probably could use some fresh ideas, some fresh blood. I will also tell you, though, that Kafka is very highly regarded around the NFL. You know, he obviously got his shot as an interim head coach. The Giants didn't cave on him. You know, they won these last two games. We can debate how smart that was to win the last two games, but they did, and they put up a bunch of points in those last two games with a young quarterback in Jackson Dart. Kafka did a bunch of things from a, you know, design quarterback run standpoint that I don't think you'll see the Chiefs do anytime soon. So that's probably what Andy's wrestling with. You know, does he stick with Nagy or bring back Kafka, or does he bring on in someone totally different? And I think different people have different philosophies in life on that. Sometimes people really like the comfort zone and a known commodity and someone that they really think is talented and good at what they do, like Mike Kafka. And then others realize that we all at times need to be intellectually challenged. And we all look, I can tell you right now, I was talking to a guy at the bar the other day, and he was telling me how radiologists, that's a bad field to get into because AI can do a better job of reading, you know, radiology scans than actual radiologists can.
That's not great.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm out of the loop when it comes to AI. My daughters can do things on my phone. I have no idea how they did it or how they learned to do it. I'll be FaceTiming them and they'll like share their screen. So look, I'm not that old. I'm 46, but I can even say from my standpoint in life, you know, my podcast producer, Jack, for the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, he's 24. Thank God. Thank God I have a 24-year-old producer. You know, I mean, he knows so many things that I don't know. You know, I'm trying to, you know, broadcast these games and be a good dad and husband. And, you know, tonight we got volleyball and then dance. I'm not keeping up with the latest. And so I guess I wonder on some level, is Andy keeping up with the latest? Is Andy as in touch as he would want to be with some of the trends? You know, McVay, nobody used 13 personnel, which is one running back, three tight ends, more than Sean McVay this year, and they were explosive out of it. They averaged an incredible amount of yards per completion, which you would never think with three tight ends. And quite frankly, you know, there have been times where that might have been a good move for the Chiefs. You know, Kelce, Noah Gray, Tonyan, like maybe that could have helped the offense out a little bit, because goodness knows they weren't getting the production that we all thought they were going to get from the receiving core. So I'll be really, really curious. I'm sure you guys will talk about it a lot. I'll be curious to hear who the candidates are. But that's a huge, huge hire for Andy Reid.
How, I guess, much do you think the fact that Andy's still the play caller, if you're an OC and you're thinking about weighing whether you come to Kansas City or you go take an OC job somewhere else, how much do you think that, I guess, hurts the Chiefs, whether we're talking about a Cliff Kingsbury or whoever you think might be a good fit, if they were to go outside the Kafka, Andy Reid type of circle, does that hurt their chances, in your opinion?
Well, two thoughts. One is, we don't know for sure Andy would keep calling the plays. I think that that's highly likely,
right?
Because it seems like he loves to do it, but that's not 100% certainty. And in that instance, the coordinator candidate would have to weigh two things. Am I better off in my quest to get a head coaching gig? Am I better off calling plays somewhere? You know, and just name this team, Tennessee or the Raiders or the Giants or whatever. Am I better off calling plays somewhere or going to a Chiefs organization that, let's be honest, is really likely to have a bounce back season? I don't know that that means 14 or 15 wins, but the reality is, what were they last year? 15-2?
Right. Yep.
Okay. They probably should have been like a 12-win team with winning, you know, a ridiculous amount of one-score games in a row. This year, we know what their record is. They're probably this year more like a 9 or 10-win team, but they lost those games. So I think the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle, and I only bring that up because if you're a coordinator candidate, you could come to Kansas City, and let's assume you're not calling plays. You would be part of a team that very likely bounces back, wins double-digit games. You know, we'll see what Mahomes' health situation is, whatever. Wins double-digit games, go to the playoffs, and you will have been around arguably the best head coach ever with one of the best organizations, and there is a track record of guys from Kansas City, like Nagy, and maybe even again, I saw where he has three head coaching interviews the next couple of days. You know, there is a track record of guys in that position, even without calling plays, getting head coaching interviews, getting, you know, Bieniemy got a zillion interviews. He just wasn't able to close the deal. You know, whether you call plays or not, if you're the Chiefs offensive coordinator, those guys get head coaching interviews.
When you look at the, let's go to the playoff field now, and we can start on the NFC side anyway. Seattle, obviously, the big question is going to be Sam Darnold. And then with Chicago, it's whether or not this two seed and who they've turned out to be is kind of a true nature of them. For some reason, Ross, and I guess tell me what you're thinking about the NFC playoff field right now. I just keep circling back around to saying it's going to be Philly, isn't it? They got the best roster still on the NFC side, and they will at least get a chance to play a home game or two. And I feel like they're in as good of a position as a lot of these teams to go through and cycle through that, because the NFC, I think, has the better rosters, but has the less good quarterbacks. And on the AFC side, I feel like there's a slightly better quarterback play.
So I put this out on social media today at Ross Tucker NFL. This is more of like a hunch or a gut feeling, but I think the winner of the Bills-Jags game is going to the Super Bowl. I really do. I think the Jags are super good, and people don't realize it because a lot of their players that are good are kind of under the radar. Parker Washington, Brenton Strange. A lot of people listen to Kansas City don't even know who those guys are. They're good. Like, they're the type of guys, after the Jags go on a playoff run, people are going to say, oh, my gosh, the Jags have all this good young talent, but people don't know who they are yet. And I think the Bills are the Bills, which everybody in Kansas City knows. I just have a feeling that, to me, it's a shame that they're playing on Sunday, because I think that could be the AFC championship game. I think they're both capable of winning multiple playoff games. Obviously, that can't happen now. The NFC, there's only three teams I really foresee getting the Super Bowl, and it's the Seahawks, Eagles, and Rams.
Yep.
I think, you know, the Rams, I know they wanted to be the number one seed and have a bye. They have the closest thing to a bye you
right,
can have.
Right.
I mean, playing the Carolina Panthers, the Panthers might be the worst team in that division right now, you know, with the way the Falcons and Saints finished the year. So, I don't know. I know it's nice to have a bye. It's probably nice to get your confidence going by beating the Panthers by 17, which I think the Rams will probably do. I certainly think the Eagles defense gives them a chance. I'll be curious to see starting Sunday. I'll be calling that game with Ian Eagle for Westwood One. I'll be curious to see how much they utilize Hurts as a runner, because that's kind of that trump card in their back pocket that they use. The problem is the Eagles clearly had the best offensive line in the league last year, and those guys are just so beat up that they haven't really been even a top 10 unit this year, which is a big reason why their offense has really struggled.
Do you think if the Bills lose to the Jags, that Sean McDermott's at risk of being fired?
Yes. Yeah, and actually, it's funny because I don't think that they would hire John Harbaugh because he's kind of been in the same boat as McDermott, you know, in terms of not being able to get over the Chiefs hump in recent years. I don't know that they would just hire Harbaugh right away, but they might, because Harbaugh's at least shown that he can do it, that he can get, you know, a team to the Super Bowl and win it, which McDermott hasn't. And I would think that this might be the year where Terry Pegula says, you know what, it's been a good run, but it's time to give somebody else a chance to see if that would just be wild. I mean, to have that many coaches with that many pelts on the wall, like McDermott and Stefanski and Harbaugh, all be available in a year in which none of the quote unquote coordinator guys are considered, you know, to be that great.
Before we let you go, Ross Tucker joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. You mentioned Jags and Bills. You think the winner is going to the Super Bowl. Who do you think, I guess, they'd be playing then? Who else in the AFC do you look at? Are we going to see surprise? People are picking, you know, the Texans to win, but could the Steelers put together one last run here for Aaron Rodgers? Do you believe that the Broncos, having that number one seed with that championship caliber defense, will be there when it's all said and done?
I kind of like the Texans just because of that defense. And I think the Patriots are a better team than the Broncos. I mean, it might work out for the Broncos being the number one seed, but I'm not really a believer. By the way, I heard you guys talking like 8 minutes ago before I came on about Kelce.
Yeah.
And which one of you said that, was it your mom that said, bring him back no matter what?
Yes, that was me. Yes.
And then Cody, what were you saying?
I said there's almost, because I don't think the number's gonna, he's not gonna ask for $30 million. There's not a number that I'm bothered by, because I think the number will be around top tight end money or slightly below that, and that he's still one of the five most productive tight ends in the NFL. And I don't think people realize how hard it is to get a good tight end, because in Kansas City it's just been 20 years of Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce.
Well, a couple things. If you don't, I mean, look, I don't know if he wants to play or not or retire or do TV or whatever, but if you don't bring him back, that's yet another position then that you have to fill. You know, like there's already several positions that the Chiefs need to work on. I wouldn't want to add one to the mix. In terms of the money, you know, I'm actually very impressed that, maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't ever remember him really making a stink about how much he was making. It kind of feels like he was underpaid like the last 10 years.
For
I think
sure.
Part of that might just be the tight end position itself.
It was whatever. Undervalued. It wasn't his fault. He was still the highest paid, but the position hadn't jumped.
Yeah, that position is by far the most undervalued. Like, I mean, for like guys like Kelce or Kittle or whatever be making $10 million less than like Michael Pittman, you know, or some of these like second rate receivers is bizarre to me. And the number that jumped out to me about Kelce is the 11.2 yards per catch this year. I mean, last year it was 8.5. The year before that, it was 10.6. You just don't see that. I mean, I don't know what he did in the off season or whatever, but that is rare for a guy at age 36 to average almost 3 more yards per catch this year than he did last year. That's a good sign. That's usually one of, you know, yards per carry, yards per catch. That's one of the major signs that front offices look at for whether a guy is like lost a step or whatever. And Kelce went the other way this year in a major way.
It's because he got on that Taylor Swift work ethic plan. That is my genuine. I'm not even just saying that to like be like. I genuinely think that that's what happened.
It's so funny that you say that because maybe because she's from my hometown or whatever. Because I'm a big fan of her music. There will be like Taylor Swift workout videos pop up on my Instagram, and just, she does serious workouts. So she's like. She's got those rope thingers, you know, like, I don't even know what those things are called. She's like squatting and doing those rope thingers. Like, whatever her workout is, we should all be doing.
Ross, appreciate it, man. Enjoy Wildcard Weekend. Have a good call, and we'll check in for divisional round.
Sounds great. See you guys.
There you go. That's Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. So he thinks Jags Bills is basically an AFC title game, and the winner,
it's the biggest game of the weekend, man.
It is. Chargers Patriots, I think, is also setting up to be pretty big. But Josh Allen, for all the reasons we've brought up already, and then a Jags team that is as hot as any team in the NFL right now. Yeah, I can't wait for that game. I just think it's, I know you're hesitant because of Trevor Lawrence. I get it. He's playing, though, at a level we've just not seen, man.
I'm less hesitant now because of the way he's actively playing.
Yeah.
And you can get I'm not going to call him Bortles, but you can get a quarterback like Joe Flacco or these other guys, even if I didn't have belief in Trevor Lawrence or still had some doubts. He's playing not like that. He's not playing like the guy that I doubted for all these years. He's playing at a much, much higher level. Their thing for me is, I think if their name wasn't Jags and their name was Baltimore or the Eagles, and they had a different jersey on, you'd take them way more serious. That roster,
well, sure, but that works the other way, too.
It's one of the better rosters in the NFL.
Totally with you on that point. I would say that works, though, on the other side, too. If the Bills weren't the Bills, we would think they stink.
That's part of the reason why.
I hear you. I'm just saying, like, we can do that with all these teams, right?
I'm so torn on this game, and I think we're going to do a full AFC preview tomorrow. The thing about that game that really gets me is, I think the Jags are the better team. I think they're playing better football, have the better team, are in the better position.
But
Josh Allen,
come playoff time,
in the playoffs has been an absolute machine, a force. And so, like, that part is very hard to share.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about it more tomorrow. Because there's the betting side of it, too, which is interesting. If we're just talking value-wise, the fact that I can get the Bills at 10-1 to win the Super Bowl, I still think is amazing value right now. Because Josh Allen is still the best quarterback remaining. He just is.
And so, I don't know, man. It's tough. With Travis and everything else,
I think he's better. Like, I understand this year the MVP conversation is Stafford and Drake May. I still will side up on the AFC side for Josh Allen over Drake May in the postseason every single time.
Yes, because, and again, this goes back to what we were talking about when we were talking about if the Chiefs were going to actually make the playoffs. When we still had this, like, blind hope that if they made the playoffs, the quarterbacks they would be going up against would not have the requisite experience typically required in order to make a run. You normally have to fail a few times. Even Burrow, even Allen. Even, like, whatever. All these guys typically have to fail a little bit. The only guys who've failed a little bit who are actually in the postseason are probably Herbert and Lawrence, and they've only failed a couple of times. It's really on the early stage of that. May's never been in it. Bo Nix hasn't been in it. Aaron Rodgers, but that's like a totally different ball game we don't have to get into. And I just think Pittsburgh's the worst version of Houston. I like Houston maybe as much as anybody this weekend to win out of any of them. Like, on the AFC side. I think that they should be
biggest. A lot closer game than people think.
Well, it'll be close.
I think it is going to be a lot closer. Mike Tomlin, you can work a little magic again. That thing is going to be neck and neck, I think.
That game has the capability to get weird, and Aaron Rodgers leads him to a game-winning field goal late in the game, and it's 16-13.
I think the Texans are a better team. There's no doubt in my mind, but it's one game. It's not, you know, it's one game. It's in Pittsburgh. And CJ Stroud, I still have questions about in big moments. He, to me, can just mentally kind of check out of a game.
TJ Watt's got fresh legs.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll give our official picks, like you said, coming up.
Interesting stuff on Andy, too, because there is this part of it that is you do get a head coaching opportunity. And I will say, at the fear of an offensive coordinator won't want to come here because he doesn't call plays is real and should be considered in this. But if I were an offensive coordinator, there is a, like, I don't know if it's a wash, but being the offensive coordinator for Patrick Mahomes, it gets close to a wash. Like, is it better to call plays for Fernando Mendoza or Cam Ward and get to call plays, or be the offensive coordinator for Patrick Mahomes? Because as Ross pointed out, and I think he's right, if they just bounce back next year, and they're back to a 12 or 13 win team, and the offense is a top 5-7 offense in the NFL again, you're not going to just get, you don't even get to wait for a head coaching interview. You'll get one immediately, like tomorrow. And I understand that you're saying, well, same thing would apply as if Mendoza's offense was good or Cam Ward's offense was good. But what's more likely? What's more likely, the Cam Ward or Mendoza, like, look really, really, really good in either second or rookie year, or Patrick Mahomes returns to form?
Well, obviously.
I know which one I'm banking on.
Yeah.
And so, like, if I'm an OC, there's got to be almost, like, not a wash gold, but, like, there's got to be a balance where that kind of feels like it's getting close to versus the play calling part. That's all.
All right, coming up next, though, let's take a look at the playoffs a bit more, though, from a different angle, and that is, like, you always have a player or a team that, outside of the team that you root for, you still kind of pull a bit, and there's some quarterbacks, some teams, some coaches that you just don't want to have any success come playoff time. We'll go through those. Plus, let's talk about what happened at Allen Fieldhouse last night. We didn't get to it there. We'll discuss Darren Peterson and the Jayhawks thriller.